This show is created for adult audiences only. Our show notes include content warnings and other helpful information. We strongly recommend taking a moment to assess the situation before continuing. Let's begin.
Episode 138, The Monroe House. Throughout our journey into the paranormal, we've ventured into many homes shrouded in darkness and whispered tales, often branding these places as the Demon House. While the term might feel overused, it's a label that, once again, finds its echo in our next chilling exploration. This time, our focus narrows to a haunting closer to our roots, enveloping us in the unsettling aura of the Monroe House, located in the heart of Hartford City, Indiana. Known to some as the Monroe Demon House, it stands as a monument to a curse believed to have been cast upon its grounds, the source of its malignant presence. Join us as we delve into the harrowing tales that have cemented its nefarious reputation, seeking to uncover if it truly lives up to its daunting title. Hartford City, with its humble beginnings as a log cabin settlement, surged into prosperity in the late 1880s amidst a natural gas boom, leading to a flurry of industrial activity, producing glass, textiles, and other goods. Yet, beneath the surface of this newfound wealth, a more sinister narrative began to unfold. In 1892, the Berger family, immigrants from Belgium, sought a fresh start in this promising land. Little did they know, their dreams would soon be overshadowed by tragedy. Their new Victorian home, built on a land that perhaps was never meant to be disturbed, became the stage for a series of unfortunate events. John Berger, the family patriarch, succumbed to tuberculosis just months after their home was completed. Shortly after John's death, a fire occurred in the upper level of the home, claiming a significant portion of the house and the lives of the Berger family members. The surviving Mrs. Berger and her remaining child faced immense hardships, leading her to rent out rooms in a bid to survive. Several tenants moved in and out of the house. It was during this time that the Myers family entered the picture, with Ulysses Myers, a man of respected standing and familial affection, at the helm. However, the house seemed to unleash a dark transformation within Ulysses. Known for his kindness, he soon became a stranger to those around him. His personality eroded into bouts of rage and madness. After a scandalous altercation at work, Ulysses abandoned his family with the mistress in tow, leaving behind a trail of unanswered questions and a house that whispered of curses. Word of the home's malevolent influence spread throughout Hartford City, implicating it in the demise of both the Bergers and the Myers. These rumors ultimately led to the Myers family moving out of the home. As a result, Mrs. Berger was no longer able to keep tenants and was forced to sell with hopes of starting over somewhere new. After the sale of the home, many families would come and go. The house saw a constant turnover of tenants, each leaving hastily as if chased by unseen forces. Over time, the house expanded to three stories, But the cycle of fleeing families continued unabated. Many of the families that moved out of the home would claim to have experienced strange and bizarre occurrences. Others, however, wouldn't say a thing. They would simply pack up and flee, possibly not wanting to come to grips with what they had experienced there. Whispers turned to screams in the late 1980s and early 1990s, with tales of occult rituals performed in the basement, where black magic was said to summon demons from the ether. One can assume that most likely, their efforts were successful. From the mid-1990s and onward, more claims were made of strange occurrences in the house, coming from newer tenants and surrounding neighbors. These stories began to spread like wildfire. Anyone new into the home would only last about a year or less before moving out again, often fleeing in the middle of the night and leaving their belongings behind. Eventually, the activity became so heightened that when the home was abandoned for a period of time, the windows would be blacked out in an effort to keep prying eyes from looking inside. This was done so because many of the neighbors and passers-by would contact the local police, claiming to see shadowy figures pacing inside. The house soon gained interest from paranormal scholars and investigation groups from all over the country. It wasn't long before investigations were held. They came in search of evidence, and what they found were not just tales, but tangible echoes of the otherworldly, capturing voices, apparitions, and a house alive with unexplained sounds, all pointing to a haunting that refuses to be silenced. The chilling allure of the Monroe House, cloaked in shadow and mystery, draws us deeper into its chilling narrative. It's within the confines of its basement and the upper floor, places marred by tragedy and dark rituals, that the heart of the haunting beats strongest. The top floor, witness to a devastating fire that consumed the Berger family, and the basement, a stage for black magic ceremonies, are the epicenters of paranormal phenomena that defy explanation. Amidst the myriad of spirits said to inhabit the Monroe House, one entity stands out with a particularly malevolent aura: the specter of an old woman. Her presence, marked by aggression and terror, remains an enigma. Some theorize she might be something far more sinister: a dark force masquerading in the guise of an elderly woman, whose true nature is beyond our comprehension. The house's notoriety for inducing fear and panic was solidified in 2014, when a group of investigators, preferring anonymity due to the trauma of their experience, fled the premises in sheer terror. Arriving under the veil of rain, they unloaded on the side of the house, unpacking their equipment and attempting to keep it dry and safe. They made their way inside and began to investigate. They slowly asked questions and documented, making their way level by level in the home. The activity increased as they navigated each floor. Shadows could be seen and would move out of the corner of their eyes. The group then decided to go into the basement. As they descended the stairs, an overwhelming chill overtook them. They then began asking questions. At that point, their equipment suffered massive failure. The group stood there in the dark, with the occasional bolt of lightning briefly illuminating a portion of the area. All of a sudden, something appeared to them that caused them to flee immediately. Whatever it was terrified them so much, they left and never returned, leaving behind a silence on their experience that speaks volumes. This pattern of fright and flight was not unique to them. In 2016, during an episode of Paranormal Lockdown, a chilling discovery in the basement crawl space by Nick Groff and Katrina Weird brought the house's sinister history into sharp relief. Unearthing human bones over a century old, the duo's discovery prompted an immediate halt to their investigation and a subsequent police investigation, casting a long shadow over the house's past and the land it stands on. The discovery of the bones led to a temporary halt in investigations, but the house's allure proved too strong to resist, drawing more to explore its deaths and continuing today. With these investigations, many more experiences have taken place since, such as loud banging, windows being shut with so much force they shatter, putrid smells, demonic growls and snarls, the feeling of being touched and grabbed, and full-blown attacks. Additionally, many EVPs have been captured, and many have heard names of those in attendance as clear as day. One previous owner of the home was said to have jumped out of an upstairs window to protect themselves against an incoming attack. It was said that the person was being charged by an entity, so they chose to jump out of the window to prevent this from happening. Recent visitors speak of unexplainable puddles, sinister footprints, and the nightmarish visions that haunt those who stay overnight, adding to the house's macabre tapestry. Amidst theories of ancient curses and the lingering effects of tragedy, the Monroe House's true nature remains elusive, a puzzle pieced together from the remnants of the past and the testimonies of those who have felt its wrath. The question stands, what is it that has plagued the Monroe House for over a century? Could it have been a curse that predates the building of the house? Something placed on the land years before the Berger family built onto it? It is said that Native American arrowheads have been found around the property, but nothing of real significance or would indicate some kind of curse. Some believe it was a generational or family curse. However, there isn't any real evidence or information to support this theory as well. The Berger family was a successful and wealthy family when they moved into the home. They were happy and otherwise thriving. Then we have the Myers family. Considering the shift in Ulysses' personality, what could have caused him to change drastically in such a short amount of time? Unfortunately, we will never truly be able to answer these questions. With the addition of the paranormal activity in the home being reported by families after the Bergers and the Myers, one could assume the activity was always there, or maybe a result of the tragedies and the overwhelming energy created after the fact. Yet, despite the fear, the Monroe House continues to fascinate and horrify, drawing attention to the paranormal community and curious alike. Its reputation as a nexus of supernatural activity, reinforced by its portrayal in Paranormal Lockdown as the Demon House, challenges the brave to endure a night within its walls. The question of what plagues this house remains unanswered, a mystery intertwined within the fabric of the land itself and the tragedies that have unfolded upon it. As the Monroe House stands, a beacon to those drawn to the paranormal, it invites the daring to explore its secrets, to face the unknown, and perhaps to encounter the very essence of fear itself. Are you among the courageous? Willing to spend a night in this house of shadows? Reservations await those eager to confront the darkness and discover for themselves the truth behind the hauntings of the Monroe House. Welcome, campers, to Campfire Tales of the Strange and Unsettling. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jordan. And now,
The Debrief.
You almost got us copyrighted.
All right.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to a new week, a new topic that, if you happen to catch last week's episode, we return to Demon House in Gary, Indiana, not to be confused with today's episode, the Monroe House, also deemed the Monroe Demon House in Hartford City, Indiana.
It's, this is a frustrating thing to research because so many things are just written about an Indiana demon house, and you'll see like there are articles that cover the history of this house and then they jump into the more current events that occurred in the Gary demon house. So they'll tell the history of the Berger family and the Myers family and all that. And then they'll be like, and in 2012, this woman and her kids. And it's like, no, you jumped.
Yeah.
Jump stories there. But
this one's also difficult because the information is pretty limited. Yeah, a lot of it's all word of mouth as well.
Yep.
So I can't think of the owners, and I apologize if you're listening to this show in this episode. I can't remember their names right now. I should have been prepared for that. But I mean, even they have general information, general knowledge. And of course, a lot of this has to do more with the experiences over the years that people have actually had there.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, this one is really weird to me because obviously, I mean, maybe not obvious to everyone, but I can literally see the Monroe House from my house. Like, this is the town that I live in.
I was going to say, you're giving away personal details there, Jordan.
I am.
Ooh, bud.
This is...
I can see your fans now. Fans.
Oh, yeah. My huge army of fans.
I couldn't even get it all out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. No, but so I've researched this one a lot, and also like we grew up with a kid who lived literally in the house right next to this house. It was just a normal house when we were kids.
Right.
I don't recall a single rumor or whisper about this house until probably 2015.
I mean, yeah, it literally wasn't until like these groups started going in. And I remember my mom like calling me one day. She's like, "Did you see this? I saw on TV they're talking about this house in Hartford City." And I'm like, "No way, that's cool." I drove by this house daily, to and from work, and I never knew. I mean, I didn't know anything about it, like you said at the time. I feel like a lot of this information has just been in the last 10 years that really,
absolutely,
all of its fame has developed within, I'd say, the last 10 years.
Yeah. And what's weird to me, because obviously that happens.
But yeah, of course.
When that happens, generally it's a local legend for decades. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden people notice it.
Right. Like these monster houses. Like I remember there's this house on the, where my grandma used to live up the hill.
Yeah.
There was this house. And like when I was a kid, before they remodeled it and renovated, now it's really nice. It's actually a super nice house. But like for all these years, it sat vacant and it was horrifying. And I remember as kids, we'd like dare each other to try to go up to the door and, silly little things like that, because it was known for, well, supposedly being haunted and, you know, whatever else. It was a monster house.
Yeah. I mean, this little town has no shortage of urban legends.
Yeah, like, without a doubt.
My instinct with this is to write it off as like a marketing ploy. You know what I mean? A business opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just feel like I would have heard of it. You know what I mean? Before it got famous.
See, I have some things to piggyback off of that kind of bother me about the approach since this house has gotten a lot more, it's became a lot more public and has gained a lot of recognition and everything. Like they first started setting up rooms with like Ouija boards and, you know, like little things there. Then they set up a visitor, almost like a little visitor center in the area that has like free sodas and free bags of chips and, you know, like, write us a review before you leave. And then now I actually just saw, I just saw recently, and this has been probably this past, like, at least the past 2 weeks, I saw that they had posted now that they have, that they now have a theater room.
Ah, a theater room.
Yeah. That's, it's set up and it's like, imagine watching a scary movie here.
Oh my God.
It just, I feel like, you know, that takes away from its authenticity. Like, that takes, I mean, it takes a lot away from it and makes it more of a, how much other, you know, other shit that can we add to this to try and make it seem scary?
Yeah. Wait till they attach a roller rink to the back of it.
Right.
It's just, that's wild. The theater room thing.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's just going to be like a walkthrough haunted house that they'll do on, you know.
Yep.
Halloween.
Yep.
And it, but like, I don't understand why you should leave it more of its original setup, or maybe like set up some bedrooms and leave everything completely still. Like, you're supposed to have an experience. You're not supposed to go there for vacation.
Yep.
But I don't think that, I don't think people realize that. And I think it's like, you know, it just try to get much, you know, try to get more out of it. Try and make a little bit, you know.
It's a misguided approach.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think that that does significantly takes away from, like, how cool this is in the first place. I mean, there's been, you know, a lot of people that have claimed to have significant real experiences.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, and so
I, okay. So back when I was writing for that magazine that I won't name, I was trying to write an article about this house, and the history is weird. It's hard to track the history.
Right.
And I even went to the local library and looked through the fucking microfiche like I was on an episode of The X-Files or something. I was, like, looking for headlines about the house, about the family, the Berger family, all that, because the story says the dad died of tuberculosis, and then there was this crazy fire in the house, and all that stuff. This was, like, early 1900s. Right?
Yeah, it was 18 what did it start out in 1880s.
Yeah.
When it hit the gas boom, and in 1892 the Berger family had moved over.
Yeah. And then the early 1900s was when tragedy started striking.
Right.
Right. They also talk about, like, the family had these weird accidents. Like, there was this weird, like, wagon wheel thing where, like, one of the sons got run over, like, got smashed by a wagon. Something like that. But, like, so there are all these stories about this family's misfortune.
Yeah.
And you're talking about like a fairly successful town at the time. This was still, like, prime. There was a huge natural gas boom.
Yeah.
Here. And it, like, the town definitely had a paper back then. These stories would have been covered.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I mean? A house burns down, or house catches on fire and people die. People write about that, right?
Without a doubt.
Like, a guy dies in a freak wagon accident in a small town in 1911. Mm-hmm. People write about that. There is not a whisper of this family in the newspapers.
I mean, yeah, like, it's
none.
I have to give props to Cody from Mystery Archives for a lot of the information that came, like a lot of kind of the earlier information that he, like, spent a long time trying to dig up anything related. But it's difficult. It's difficult because the information is very, very few and far between.
Yeah. It also gets weird because this house, like the majority of really large houses in the Midwest, especially in Indiana, eventually got broken up into duplexes.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them have.
For renters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and then, of course, and when you're telling the story, you're like, you know, of course you have to hit on the fact that, like, renters never lasted. You know what I mean? Like, they would come in, they'd rent for a while, then they'd move out. Honestly, around here especially, that's sort of the nature of renters anyway. I was going
to say, that still,
you know,
happens, you know, to this day.
Oh yeah.
In the area, so.
I grew up with parents who were the masters of disappearing in the middle of the night.
Maybe they didn't want to tell you, but secretly
It was hauntings.
Yeah, all of your houses were haunted terribly.
It definitely wasn't their, like, wildly bad money management abilities, for sure. It was
ghosts. That's what they wanted you to think.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, that, it just feels very, all of it feels very normal to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, what, the second family,
the Myers
family. Mm-hmm. The dad, like, started going nuts, and then he fucking went out for a pack of smokes and never came back.
It's very, like, Amityville, like yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he like, and it was said that, you know, anybody that knew him talked about how great of a guy he was, but when he started to change, he changed so fast that nobody recognized him anymore.
Yeah. See, that's scary. And we've talked about that in possession, cases, because that whole concept of someone just changing overnight almost.
Yeah.
Is terrifying, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's definitely a thing that people are capable of doing all on their own, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, something happens that maybe he was banking on for a while.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this happens. He just gets pissed and then he just stays pissed.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you know?
Or he could have had a fucking psychotic break.
Could have.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It could have been just mental health. Like,
yeah.
And all of a sudden he reached a point to where there was no coming back from, at least not at that time. Maybe his mistress got him to come back, but he disappeared with her. So maybe she got the good, the good parts of him back.
Or maybe she, you know, maybe he accidentally knocked her up and was like, I'll just start over.
maybe I'll have better luck this time.
Yeah. Dude, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Yeah. I mean, there's a comedian, Tony Hinchcliffe, and he always talks about the fact that, like, he grew up two blocks from the guy that he eventually found out was his biological father, right?
That's crazy.
Like, and he...
Wow.
His mom knew the whole time. Like, and basically what happened was when he was, like, 5 or 6 years old, they split up, and he just went and started a new family, like, two blocks away.
Just down the road.
And, yeah, like... Didn't even bother moving away.
I was going to say, normal people, when they start over, they're going to move, you know, to a new area where nobody knows your name.
Yep.
You know, that's like an episode of Cheers.
In reverse. It's, I mean, some kids just get reverse Cheersed. It's, I mean. Dude, it's, I mean. My mom grew up, like, she had a very similar situation because it happened later in life for her, but, like, when her parents split up, I think she was, like, early 20s when it happened, but she had a younger sister who was still at home. And when her parents split up, her dad, my maternal grandfather, literally just started a new family. Just, like... He, like, married some chick who had, like, four kids already and just, like, raised her kids. And, like, there was always a weird thing growing up where, like, we all knew he liked his new family better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's very odd. Strange things happen with that.
My stepmom, my parents split up when I was young. And, of course, my dad only lived, you know, across town, but my stepmom didn't like me, so she, you know, didn't like my dad even getting to see me. So, I mean, yeah, you know, things like that happen.
You were trouble, bud.
I was a little lad, you know? I was just a wee guy.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. This boy is trouble.
There's a weird thing with step-parents where, like, the kid reminds them of the...
Previous significant other.
Yes, yes.
Right.
That's, and...
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's awful, jealousy, it's yeah. all of that combined, and it's really stupid, and she's just a terrible person, so...
Yeah.
I mean, he passed away, and she was married, like, 6 months with somebody new.
Jesus.
Yeah, I will say her name, but she's a terrible person.
Yeah. Hopefully she listens.
I hope so.
If so, fuck off.
No, I mean, I don't wish ill will towards anyone really, but
the will isn't ill. She just should fuck off.
I mean, yeah, just don't be a bad person.
Yeah. Grow up.
Grow up.
All right. So all that to say, I like I feel like this list of like quote unquote horrible things that have happened at this house, it's a pretty light list.
I mean, besides the Berger family, the majority of all them dying in this terrible fire.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's kind of sad. It took a portion of the house and the majority of the family. So the mom and the one remaining child that's unnamed are the two survivors.
Yeah.
And so she has no way to make ends meet. So she's like, I'll just rent out some rooms.
Right. Yeah.
But of course, once rumors hit and people are like, well, there's been a lot of bad stuff that's happened. You know, this family dies and this guy runs off with his mistress. This has to be a terrible place.
Yeah, then it blows up.
Right. And then people are just leaving and, you know, people are still coming and going. But I feel a lot of that is due to the effects that the rumors have on the people that end up there, maybe.
Sure. Definitely. I could see that.
You know, it's just that reputation that this place is built.
See, yeah. When I was researching it, I found, because I was following property records, and I found the Berger family, right? And then the Myers family was on like a handful of censuses for that address. And then when she starts like really, I think she sells it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Berger sells it eventually. And after that, it's like a dozen owners.
Right.
And it's broken into duplex and there are like multiple renters in multiple years. Like, and it just becomes impossible to track who all lived there.
And that could also have a lot of the effect on why people are saying, you know, thinking like all these people are coming immediately going.
Yeah.
I mean, you're having multiple renters during the time or whatever else. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to see a lot of people coming and going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like,
that might be slightly misled a little bit.
Yeah.
Possibly. You know, I mean, it could be more. It could be more to it and could, in fact, be, you know, some these hauntings.
Haunted.
And, yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like a lot, like, I hear that a lot, and I don't know very many long-term renters that really exist anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I recently had an aunt tell me, like, she lives in Missouri, and she mentioned that they've been renting, they have this, like, little house on, like, 10 acres that they've been renting for, like, 15 years, and they just, like, get along so well with their landlord, and they, like, that sounds like a story from a bygone era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's fair, right?
It's now, like, you rent from a fucking faceless corporation for, you know, until you can't pay your bills anymore or until you find somewhere where, you know, the maintenance is better or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or a neighbor's too loud, so you move out, whatever it is. Like, most people don't stay in the same place for very long when they're renting. So, yeah. And personally, I think the 1980s shit is like, I just lump that in with satanic panic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, me too.
Immediately.
Yep.
Right.
That was my exact thoughts as well. Is, I mean, it was the time, like the time it was all over the place. So, I mean, yeah, it's anybody's gonna be like, yeah, there's black magic, some Satan devil worshippers up in there.
Yeah. There was a kid with weird hair. He always wore black t-shirts. They must have been inviting the devil.
This guy cut off his short sleeves and you know he was in with the devil.
Yep. Absolutely.
He had devil hands and everything.
He barely ever went to church.
I saw him when he was like 5 and that was the last time I ever saw him at church. You know he's with the devil.
They got 2 teenagers and one of them flipped off the church bus.
One day he was walking, I saw his ass crack.
Devil worshippers. I mean, it's funny now, but like, we grew up in the remnants of that shit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, there was some leftover satanic panic in the 90s, 100%. Like,
yeah, I mean, I obviously don't see as much of that these days. I don't even know that I've heard anybody talk about quote-unquote devil worshipping and all that crud in years, but
yeah,
you know, I think people have maybe it's just, again, it was the time period, but I think people become a little bit smarter, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Not so narrow-minded. I mean,
it's just not really in vogue to like wield that weapon against teenagers anymore. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like we lived through the resurgence of satanic panic that happened after Columbine.
Yeah.
Like, that hit really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody in a trench coat, all anybody who listened kids, to this music. Yeah. Yeah, anybody who, like...
I was going to say just all of our family members that were older than us were a part
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Yep.
I mean, your brother and my cousin, all grew up together. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I specifically remember getting suspended from school for 3 days because I apparently have never had any chill when it comes to national tragedies, because just a few days after Columbine, I remember just saying that I was going to wear a trench coat to school, just saying it. And I got suspended from school for 3 days.
How dare you?
Right? How dare I?
Where do you get off?
If only they knew that by the time we were their age, that there would be a fucking school shooting every 14 hours.
Yeah. It's sad. I mean, definitely sad. But...
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot... I feel it's a lot more accessible now. And...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think there are a lot more desperate children now than absolutely. There were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer.
I mean, even though, you know... I don't know. That's a conversation for another day, but...
For sure. The 80s stuff, satanic panic, for sure.
Yeah.
Every one of these supposed haunted houses have, like, you know, satanic rituals occurred in the basement. Like, they all say
It's
that.
Always the basement, too.
Yeah.
It can't be in, like, the third bedroom that was... It was the, like, right. the newborn's bedroom.
Right. It's never in the, like, in the primary ensuite.
In the kitchen, they had a... pentagram painted in something.
They did a Ouija board right on the island.
I found a doll head under my stairs.
Christ.
I don't know why I just reenacting my acting of portraying these people goes to like this kind of southern
always
like backwoods thing.
Oh man. Okay, so you mentioned a thing at some point that eventually they blacked out the windows to stop people from calling.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, covered the windows essentially because people, neighbors and like passersby would see somebody walking around and know that this place is supposed to be
empty.
No one's supposed to be there, right? So they were getting like calls to the police that were, you know, that were going on there. And funny enough, a couple years ago, back when, especially the height of like when this house started getting popular, my mom drove by there one day and she calls me and says, I saw someone up and like looking out the window. And I was like, no, you did not. She's like, yeah, I did. I swear. And I was like, no, there's no way. So I like immediately drove down there and drove around several times. I never saw anything.
That's awesome.
She swears to this day.
I hope she did.
I hope so too, because I gave her a lot of shit for it. But maybe
there's probably someone prepping the theater room.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. They were probably installing their coffee bar at that point.
Yeah, their potato chip rack.
You gotta stay awake when you're here.
That's right. I do like the description of the angry old woman ghost.
Yeah, she seems cool, but there's not a lot more about her, right?
You don't get a lot of old lady ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a really untapped market for ghost personalities. You know what I mean?
After this episode, you're going to see an uproar and just old lady, dirty, terrifying ghosts.
I mean, we talk about kid ghosts all the time.
True.
There's, of course, there's always the like young woman in distress, the woman in white type ghosts.
Yeah.
That shit, you know, people, soldiers in uniform, not a lot of just pissed off old ladies.
That's true. Yeah.
You'd think we'd be lousy with old lady ghosts because they're dropping left and right.
You know, that's true. Especially like, I could imagine one of these just scary, gummy women.
Yeah.
I mean, she's probably running around naked. That's how I envision her.
Yeah.
Hair all in a fritz.
Yeah.
And she's like hunched over, just like ready to get you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Probably runs faster than you do.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Christ. Just picture like the old lady that gets the jump on you when you visit the nursing home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every time I go in one of those places, I get surprised by an old woman around a corner. It happens every, like, my wife makes fun of me all the time because it happens every single time.
You go to a lot of nursing homes?
I mean, I've been to my share.
I dabble.
My fair share. Yeah, I dabble in retirement communities. No, but like, last year, my mother-in-law was in a car accident, and she was in one that also did rehab.
Yeah.
So like, she went there to like rehab her hip.
That's fair.
And it happened when we were there that time, when my wife's grandma was in there. It happened. Also, my niece works at one, so I would frequently go like give her rides home and stuff. Mm-hmm. Every goddamn time I go in one of those places, it happens.
And you're just terrified of old women.
Maybe I probably just have it like psyched up in my head at this point. Like every time I go to round a corner in one of those places, I'm just waiting to get jump scared. It happens every time. It's weird.
She like just picks up her walker and smacks you with it.
Yeah, exactly. I swear at least one of them have literally said boo when I walked around the corner.
Nice.
At least one.
You probably saw the ghost of this lady.
Probably.
Beforehand. Probably.
All right, so before we get into paranormal lockdown, which obviously we will, I want to talk just a second about this mysterious paranormal group who investigated the one in 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Yeah. So they're a group that chose not to be named.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, they're going basically from level to level, investigating the house. They finally make their way into the basement, and as soon as they walk in, they can tell, you know, something's out of the ordinary. A very, you know, cold chill overtakes them all, and then basically, as they start to ask questions, all of their equipment just dies.
Okay.
Completely stops functioning. So they're standing there in the complete darkness, and it's still raining outside, so each, like, cast of lightning, you know, they can see throughout the windows in the basement, just, like, kind of lighting up the room a little bit. And so they stand there, and then all of a sudden, this, like, full-blown apparition appears in front of them.
Okay.
That's as much as we know. That's the only data, the information that they've, like, given. And they won't talk about it anymore, and basically, as soon as that happened, they fled and never returned.
Does that not, to you, seem like the most generic horror like, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, that's, you know.
Like, first off, what paranormal group doesn't want to be attached to a story like that?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Maybe that's what they wanted, but when they actually experienced it, it was more than they, like, they realized this was too much. But why wouldn't they want, like,
their... It doesn't seem like that much.
I mean, even if they were, like...
It seems like what everyone's looking for.
Yeah, but maybe for them, like, they were like, okay, I'm really not an investigator. Like, I don't want this. And they didn't want to become a mockery in the community, so, you know.
Okay.
Like, maybe they investigate, like, kids, like, birthday parties now.
Yeah, maybe. They switched it up.
Right, instead of going into a haunted house, you know, they try to keep it light.
Yeah,
You know, so... But, like, if it were me, I mean, that would be cool. Like, that'd be awesome to be able to talk about. Be like, yeah, like, this all happened, and then we saw this. Like, you know, if only our equipment had been working, we could have gotten it on film. Yeah. But all you have is at least us telling you this happened.
It just seems to me like a story that very much could have been created by the people who run the place.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there are literally no details.
Right. Yeah. They just choose to remain anonymous.
They don't even bother really describing what they see in the basement.
Nope.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Right? They already chose to be anonymous. Why not tell the fucking story?
You know what I mean? You know, at least be like, it had this, it had some red eyes, glowing fingertips. Like, you could tell, like, it had painted its nails with glow, you know, nail polish.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, something, at least.
The floating head of an angsty teen or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just describe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think I buy that story.
Unless it was so impactful and traumatizing.
They can't even bring themselves to type it.
Can't even talk about it or think about it. Maybe they've tried to block it out of their minds at this point.
Yeah.
Somebody asks, and like, I'm getting too old for that crud.
Exactly. They're like 29.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, okay, that's... So, we have that.
Yeah. We sure do. Paranormal lockdown.
Yeah.
They did... Okay, so the big headline is that they found bones.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like what made the story blow up, was that like, oh, Nick Groff was investigating a place, they found human bones in the basement, right?
They were confirmed to be over 100 years old as well.
Yeah, but I mean, they were confirmed because this was like the crux of my research that I did on this. So you ready to hear what I found?
Yeah.
So everything released by Nick Groff and by the channel, I forget what channel backed that show at that point, but like told that same story that like they found human bones, they were aged at over 100 years old, mm-hmm. and all that shit. Actual police records, because there was an investigation, they reported finding bones,
right,
so there had to be a police investigation. The actual investigation lasted as long as it took for lab results to come back, because the lab results came back and said that the bones were taxidermy. So they had no idea what the bones actually belonged to.
Yeah.
But the bones that were found had been taxidermied.
Okay.
So they assumed at that point that it was not, in fact, a human being. That it was some kind of taxidermied animal. But all the shit that came out, like, it's over 100 years old, all mm-hmm. that, came out before... any actual lab results came back.
So I'd seen that they had sent it off to a lab, and they had confirmed that it was human and that it was in fact over 100 years, and that they had sent over to Indiana University, I think it was Indiana University, for further testing, and that we hadn't really gotten, I mean, it was assumed that it was still under investigation.
You mean that the paranormal investigators sent it off?
No, that for I think it was like whatever lab had initially received them sent it to
a lab in Indianapolis. I forget what it was, but that's where it's like the state police crime lab
mm-hmm.
that did the initial test and found that it was taxidermied.
Okay, well,
so there were all kinds of like polyurethane and all that shit was in the makeup for it. So they decided that it had been taxidermied at some point. It was
well, then maybe that story is just
TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's been myth busted.
Yeah, I think so. That's right. I researched this more than anything I ever wrote for that magazine.
Really?
Like, because I actually like cared. I never even wrote. Okay, so we're getting toward the tail end of the debrief. Right. So I can start, like, if you haven't picked up on it yet, but like the reason I never wrote the article about it was because I 100% do not buy that this place is haunted at all.
Okay.
You don't think any of the experiences
people have had there are legit at all?
I mean, if you're going with like the classic definition of haunted,
yeah.
No. I think if you get yourself worked up enough, you can have an experience.
We're not talking about that. I'm talking about a legit haunting experience.
No, I don't think any spirits are roaming the halls of the Monroe House.
See, man, I don't know. Obviously, I've not been there. I want to go there for a night, and I know we've talked about it a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And should just do it at this point, if they'll let us in after they hear this episode.
Right.
But I would like to go at least sometime, check it out, and just to
have a first-hand experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and then I can make my full decision. But like right now, I'm pretty much there with you as well.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I think a lot of this just started getting recognition after, like, I mean, just all at once, right? Like you said, there were no like old, like even just ghost stories about this house, like whatever else. Yeah, it wasn't a monster house. It wasn't like one of those, the ones that you would go up and over a street to, you know, make sure you didn't have to walk, you know, in front of. Exactly. I mean, I did that as a kid, like those monster houses, you know?
Yeah.
You would do that, but this was never one of those.
What's crazy is there are so many abandoned houses in this town now that like every fourth house is a monster house.
I mean, yeah. That's,
you know, fair. What I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were kids, it was each like, because the town is kind of split, I'd say, into quadrants, right? Like you have the area back by like where Cam and I lived growing
right.
up, mm-hmm. you know, that whole section. And your grandma lived back there too, in that like quadrant.
Yeah.
And then there's over by the pool, that quadrant mm-hmm. by the pool. And then there's out by the grocery store.
Yep.
That section. And then the section by the Oaks, the nice yeah. place. Right. Every, well, yeah. like I'd say
that's
every.
Hartford. And in yeah, the center.
That's pretty much it.
Is the courthouse.
Yeah, is a gigantic, gaudy courthouse where they are currently building an insane, they're redoing the roof in copper. And they spent $13 million on a roof.
Why?
For that building. Yeah, in a town where why the median not? Income is like $24,000 a year.
And they have all these areas with these rundown like buildings and shit. Like, I know, granted, they've started yeah. to do like parks and
sure.
actually make use of some of this. It looks nice. The areas that they have.
It does.
Why not invest that into more of those? Like, they claim it's going to be, it's like one of the next up and coming cities. And, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah.
Because everywhere around is within 30 to 45 minutes. And, you know, you can commute to go to
sure
the nearest colleges or whatever else. I mean,
they're trying really hard to sell this town to anyone under 70.
I mean, yeah.
And it's tough.
Yeah.
I think. By the time we're like cemented in middle age, I think this will be a full-on retirement community. This town. I mean,
I don't know. Maybe.
The age of the like average age has just climbed steadily since we were in high school. It's cuz people just flee this place.
Well, yeah,
like,
but
I'm one of the few people who still live here that are not a meth addict. From when we were in high school.
I mean,
like it's
that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people either got the fuck out of here or they were kept here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what I was saying was when we were kids, like each quadrant of town probably had one, maybe two monster houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That like all the kids knew about. You would, like you said, you'd go over a street to avoid walking by it. You like dared each other when you were out playing ditch'em. You dared each other to go up close and maybe even go up on the front porch of it and
or
knock
try to
on
sneak
the door.
Inside.
Yeah, if you were really ballsy.
Yeah,
but like now it's literally every three or four houses looks like those monster houses did when we were kids.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's got to get worse before it gets better, right? Isn't that what they say?
I like the optimism. Yeah. Either that or it'll just be swallowed by the earth at some point.
It might. I'd like to think it'll do better for itself.
I mean, maybe everyone will be inspired by the brand new shiny copper roof on the courthouse and they'll pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be like one of the first big Google image, like, you know, Google Earth view, whatever. And it's going to be like, what is this place?
Right.
I must know. And everybody just relocates to Hartford City.
I mean, you could probably see the fucking roof from space. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was kind of thinking that as well.
Good God.
Yeah. Well,
one last thing I wanted to say. So there are like whisperings that the people who are really selling this place as like a haunted spot, a demon house, if you will.
Yeah.
They often bring up the fact that like, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't built on some Indian burial ground.
Yeah, right? But I mean, there's been a lot of surveying and stuff that's been done to determine that that's not a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like, there are... We live in an area where If you dig out any like 5x5 foot space, there's a solid chance you're going to run into something from like a Miami tribe.
Yeah.
Piece. They're everywhere in this region. I mean, everywhere. Like, I have several friends who literally spend all their free time hunting arrowheads. And they have like thousands of them. Right? They have them in like cool little shadow boxes.
Oh, okay.
And, you know,
make arrows for their bows. Like,
I actually do have a friend who's into flint napping, like making his own arrowheads the same way they did. It's pretty fucking cool, actually. But yeah, what I mean is like, they'll say like some arrowheads were found. You know what I mean? In that area, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to believe that this was anywhere near like a burial mound of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Just another tick in the
bullshit
column. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said, I think I'm there. I think I'm there with you. It's a bummer because like of how big it's gotten.
Yeah.
But I think it's all to make it'd be a nice quick if it were buck. Real. That's unfortunate, and you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think the house, the owner probably was trying to rent it and couldn't get it rented for like 2 years. And they're like, well, what else could I do with this rental house? You know what I mean?
Especially after they installed their theater room, made me go back and be like, yeah. Well, like I said, I would still like to check it out.
That's pretty
dicey. You know, just for my own, my own personal, you know.
Yeah.
Just
please let us in to look around still.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on the podcast, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm stoked for? I'm stoked to see how Carly's reading on this one goes. I want to know if those cards come up full bullshit.
I mean, you know the card like, is going to be like super quiet. Nothing. It's going to be like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nothing makes sense. It's just like nothing ever clicks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as unfortunate as it is, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd have to say I agree.
It'll be a fucking cool episode. I don't know, she can change. Sure. Maybe her and the cards will change my mind.
Exactly. We'll get different answers.
That's the thing, is there's always the possibility that it's just a randomly haunted house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because obviously you had hauntings growing up.
Mm-hmm.
We've had for Fireside Chats, we've literally had like 200 people on who have had hauntings.
Right.
Who have like, and their houses aren't famous for being haunted.
Yeah.
There's no local lore about their haunted house. You know? So maybe this is just a run of the mill haunting in a house
that they chose to kind of cash out on. Yeah.
Yeah. And blow up.
Cash in on. Guess it'd be either way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a possibility.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I won't say definitely not haunted, but I think it's been blown way out of proportion to sell tickets.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's more of an attraction than anything at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Now,
cool.
Here in this same town, we have a place that I legitimately believe is haunted, which is the jail. The old Hartford City jail.
Right. Which is literally a block away from this place.
Yeah, and it's scary as fuck.
Yeah, about a block.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a block and a half away. I get a weird feeling just being near that building.
Really?
Like, yes. Dude, just walking on the sidewalk past it, I get a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking weird. It's a weird place.
Imagine, I can't remember the guy's name at this point, but when I once worked at the Taco Bell in Hartford City, he would come in a lot, but the guy that owns it, I think he still owns it, but ended up like remodeling the upstairs part and turning it into a house.
Yes.
Imagine like living there though.
Nope. No, thank you. No, thank you at all. That place freaks me out. That's another place I'd like to actually go in and investigate.
I would definitely like to. I've heard like I've watched a lot of videos, and I've heard a lot of like EVPs people have captured and stuff of going into the old cell area, and that's been really cool. So I would like to check that one out.
Friend of the show, Heather Mosier from Small Town Monsters, she investigated that place like a year or 2 years before I ever even talked to her, before we knew each other. She came and investigated that place, and she said she had one of the most compelling ghost hunting experiences she's ever been a part of.
That's awesome.
That building. So, yeah.
We're just going to have to make it a point to just hit up both places.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do it for science, and then we'll turn it into another show. And, we'll report back.
Yeah. It'd be cool to get Carly up here to Indiana and do all three of us go in there and have her like pull cards in it and all that. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really cool. Maybe one day we can make it. We can make it happen.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll pressure her into it on Friday's episode.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Watch it not even come up.
Yeah, probably. I'll forget.
Well, I think it's gonna wrap up this week's episode. Episode 138, The Monroe House.
Thank you. From the bottom of our weird, possibly alien, maybe ghostly, probably cryptid hearts for listening. We absolutely love having the chance to discuss all these wild creatures and events every week, and it's your continued attention that allows us to carry on.
We want to get to know each and every one of you. So please come and check us out on all the socials. At campfire.tales.podcast on Instagram and Facebook. At campfire.totsau on Twitter. And you can also visit our website at campfirepodcastnetwork.com. If you love the show, please rate and review it. It's what truly helps us continue bringing your weekly dose of the strange and unsettling.
And a special thanks to Greg Martin at Reverent Music on Instagram for his contributions to the beautiful music that you hear every week under the debrief. You can find more of his tunes at reverbnation.com/reverent. It's fantastic, fantastic stuff. Go give that a listen.
And that's it. Until next time.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Jordan.
And remember, campers,
stay weird.
And trust in the unknown.